If you'll turn now in your Bibles to the book of Romans in chapter 6. We've had two Sundays away in which we've looked at the book of Hebrews, our anniversary Sunday 2 weeks ago, and then last Sunday morning we also looked at the same passage again, Hebrews 10, and now we resume where we left off in our study of the book of Romans. We're at chapter 6, beginning a new section. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Now, close your books. Take out paper, pencil. Time for a quiz. If you look in your bulletin, there is the sermon outline that is there that begins with a quiz at the very top of the page. Five questions. You can circle your answers on this piece of paper. I haven't decided yet whether we're going to turn them in, but you can go ahead and put your name at the top of the page. Short quiz, five questions. Question number one, are you a Christian? Yes or no? There's no I hope so or anything like that. Just answer the question. Yes or no, am I a Christian? Are you a Christian? Do you consider yourself this morning to be a Christian? Yes or no? Question two. Is sin a good thing or a bad thing? Just circle one or the other. Your answer there is going to tell a lot about yourself. Is sin a good thing or a bad thing? Question three. Should Christians sin? Yes or no? Question four. Do you sin? Yes or no? Just circle one of those. And again, your answer is going to tell a lot about yourself at this point. And then question five, and you can just write in what your answer is there, or just think about this question. Didn't Jesus die to save us from our sins? Doesn't Paul say here at the beginning of Romans 6 that as Christians we are dead to sin? There's a problem here, isn't there? And some of you might be tempted to go back up and revise the answer to your first question. I must not be a Christian. But most of us here this morning know that we are Christians. We are God's friends. We are His children. We sin, but we know that it's wrong. And so what I want us to do this morning is to think just briefly of what Paul says here at the beginning of Romans 6. What are we supposed to do with this sin that we still feel to be a part of us? You don't have to turn your quiz in. Let's begin with the question, what exactly is sin? And what has it got to do with me now that I'm a Christian? What exactly is sin? And what has it got to do with me? Paul has spent the first three chapters of the book of Romans talking about how we have all sinned and have all come short of the glory of God, and we are all under the wrath of God. Sin is something that is common to all of us. We're born with it. Romans chapter 1, Paul gives a list of some of the sins that people are guilty of. Denying that God exists or that He's created the world. Not honoring God or giving Him thanks. Worshiping or putting your trust in other people or things. Idolatry. Worshiping creation instead of the Creator. Engaging in shameful behavior with one another. And you're thinking, well, that's not me. I am a Christian. I'm not perfect, but I do believe in God. I'm trusting God. I love God. I've come here this morning to worship God and to give Him thanks. Paul goes on, Romans 1, to show us none of us are perfect. He talks about greed, hatred, envy, quarreling, deception, bad behavior, gossip, being backstabbers, insolent, proud, boastful, disobeying parents, rejecting the truth, breaking promises, being heartless, showing no mercy. Nobody escapes from Romans 1 as Paul talks about sin. You know, I may not be Casey Anthony. I may not be Jeffrey Dahmer. I may not have a meth lab in my apartment across from an elementary school. I may not be a murderer or a bank robber, but I'm not that bad. I know I'm not perfect. But I can see from what Paul says here that I too am a sinner. I'm not perfect. I fall short of God's standard of perfection. But I am a Christian. And my sin problem has already been taken care of. Chapter 3, verse 21. Much of what we've talked about so far in our study of Romans is how God has come and solved the problem that we have with sin. Romans 3:21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Jesus paid it all, and it's mine as a free gift of His grace without any effort or work on my part. And that's all of what chapter 4 is about. Notice, for instance, Romans 4, verses 4 and 5. Paul says, to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. We're forgiven. Romans 4, verse 7, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. I'm right with God. Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have this introduction, this access into God's presence, into His grace. And this is where we now stand. I know that God loves me. I know this because of the Spirit that He gives me. Romans 5, verse 5. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom He has given to us. And I know that God loves me because of His Son. Romans 5, verse 8. God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then as Paul ends chapter 5, beginning at verse 20. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. It's the law that shows us how Many times we have sinned. It shows us our sin. It shows us how bad our sin is. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I have eternal life. I mean, this is truly good news. Christ died for me. He died in my place. I am forgiven all of my sins, the past, the present, the future. I know that God loves me. I know that I have eternal life. I know that I am friends with God. So here comes the question, chapter 6, verse 1. What do we say? Should we go on sinning so that grace may increase? I mean, why not keep on sinning so that I get more of God's kindness and God's forgiveness and God's grace? I want more of God's grace, and the way to get God's grace is to sin. And then you get more of it. Why not keep on sinning so I can get all that God has for me? It sounds silly, doesn't it? I mean, think about it. But it really is a good question to ask. Only those who truly understand the gospel of God's grace will ever be tempted to ask this question. It's only the people who really understand grace that this question even arises in your mind. If you're going through life thinking that what makes me right with God is my good works and my hard labor and trying to get God to love me and to do great things for Him, and if I try harder, you would never ask this question. You'd be too busy saying, well, of course I can't remain in sin. I've got to work. I've got to get rid of these sins. I've got to do more to get God to love me. I've got to perform in some way so that God will be willing to forgive me. You know that you understand the gospel of grace when this question arises, and it's why Paul entertains the thought. He knows how minds are thinking. He knows that people are sitting there thinking, well, if all of my sins are taken care of, past, present, and future, it doesn't make any difference. And so he entertains the question for us. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? But sadly, there are people that think that way. Some Christians think that the answer to their struggle with the sin that they still have within them is just to come up with a bunch of rules. We call that legalism. You just come up with a bunch of rules that you impose upon yourself and everybody else around you. And in that way, by following those rules, you can suppress your evil and sinful desires so that you don't give in to them. Rightfully, people respond to that that's not right, but they go to another extreme. And the other extreme is no rules. You don't need any rules at all. Any effort that you make, they think, any effort that you make to try to get rid of sin in your life will show that you don't understand grace. I'm God's child. God is my Father. God loves me just as I am. And so anything that I do is not going to make me more attractive to God. If I read my Bible, if I pray, if I come to church, if I discipline myself to say no to sin, none of that is going to make God love me anymore. It's not going to make me more righteous. I know that I could never be good enough. God accepts me anyway, just as I am, because of His grace. And so why worry about sin? Just let go. Let God be God. Let Him show me more of His grace. And perhaps the words are not spoken, because they know that what Romans 6 says. And yet the thought is there. Why not just go on sinning? Because God is a God of grace. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. Paul is horrified. It's a good question to ask, but once you begin to entertain it, Paul shows us that this is a horrible thought, that we could go on sinning. And his answer, verse 2, we are those who have died to sin. How could we live in it any longer? We have died to sin. The relationship that we had to sin is now over. We've died to that, and we're in a new relationship. Now, Paul is not saying that we have died. He's not saying here that we have died to the penalty of sin. I mean, that is true. We're not under condemnation. We have peace with God. We've been justified. We've been forgiven. We've been declared right. Jesus Christ has taken the penalty of our sin. He has been punished in our place for us. That's true, but that's not what Paul is saying here. Paul has already said that in Romans 1 through 5. He's not saying here that we've died to sin's penalty. He's not saying that we have died to sin's presence so that we no longer struggle with sin or that it's no longer possible for us to sin. Romans 7, Paul talks about his own struggles with sin. Romans 7:15, for example. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. You ever felt that way? You ever said that to yourself? I don't want to do this, and when I do it, I hate it. Because I know it's wrong. Verse 19, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. So that he cries out, verse 24, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Paul still sins. We still sin. He's not talking about being dead to the presence or to the possibility of sinning. Paul is not talking about some process that we're going through. He doesn't say that we should die to sin or that we are dying to sin. And he doesn't tell us, die to sin. What he says is, we have died to sin. He's talking about something that has already happened. What Paul is talking about here now in Romans 6 is that we have died to the reign, to the rule, to the power, to the authority of sin in our lives. That relationship has ended. Notice how he ended chapter 5, verse 21. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And skip ahead to Romans 6, verse 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Those who are under the rule, the reign, the power, the authority of sin. Paul is saying that your relationship to sin as a governing power, as an authority, as a ruling and reigning power, something that comes and tells you that you have to do something, Paul is saying that has ended. You're dead to sin in that sense. Sin has no authority over you, no power to make you sin. If you sin, it's simply because you choose to forget who you are and you forget the freedom that you have in Christ. Illustration. Let's say that you work in an office with some other people. And everybody has a desk. There's a whole bunch of desks in the office. And everybody has a job. Everybody shows up and they work in the same room. And right in the middle of the room, there is a big desk. And there is one man who sits there. And he is the office manager. He's the supervisor. He's the man in charge of everything that goes on in the office. He's a tough guy to work for. He's a tyrant. You better do what he says. He demands a lot of overtime. And every morning when people show up, he gives everyone their assignments. He tells them what to do. You've got to do this. Get it done. And he comes behind you and scolds you if you're not working on it. One day, the owner of the company happens to come into the office, and he goes over to the big desk with the man sitting behind the big desk and says, "You're fired. You're out of here. We don't want you in here anymore. Go on. Go on home." And so the office manager cleans out his desk, gives up his chair, but he didn't go home. He goes over to a corner, maybe with a folding chair sets up by the water cooler, and just sits there. This guy no longer has any power over you, no authority. You don't have to do anything that this guy says, but he's still there. From time to time, you find that this guy will come over to your desk and tell you, "You need to work on this. You need to do this," and he'll make suggestions of things that you ought to be doing or should be doing or that you can do. And sometimes you even allow him to go over and sit behind the big desk. He's not supposed to be there. But you allow him to go over there and sit behind that big desk and tell everybody what to do and to tell you what to do. You don't have to do any of it. You're not supposed to. You're free from his tyranny. He has no power. He has no authority over you. He has no right to be there and to tell you what to do. In the same way, sin is like a manager or a supervisor who throughout your life has been telling you what to do. You were born in sin. You were a slave to sin. And as you go through life, you are a slave to sin. Sin sits on the throne of your life. It sits behind the big desk and tells you what to do, and you really have no choice about it. You have to do this. You feel compelled because you are a slave to sin. But God comes in and says you no longer work for sin. He sets you free. You become a Christian. The old relationship is over. And God says, "Consider yourself now to be dead to sin." You don't have to do anything that sin tells you to do. Don't listen to sin. Don't do what sin tells you to do. Stop offering yourself to work for sin. Don't let sin sit behind that big desk and tell you what to do. Sin no longer has any authority or power over you. You are dead to sin. You are free from sin. And if you sin, it's only because you have not thought about who you really are and who's really in charge here. That's basically the illustration of what Paul is talking about here in these first two verses. In the weeks to come, this is the beginning of a great chapter in the book of Romans and a new section in Romans. But in the weeks to come, we are going to work this argument out in detail. In these first two verses, Paul simply makes this basic principle that we have died to sin. That relationship is over with. We no longer have to do what sin tells us to do. We have the power and the right and the authority to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't have to. I'm dead to that relationship. Verses 3 through 10 is going to describe, Paul will describe for us how it is that we died to sin. He's going to talk specifically about how it is that this has taken place in our lives. And the short answer is union with Christ. We have aligned ourselves with Jesus Christ. We are in union with Christ. We are connected to Jesus Christ, so that when Jesus died to sin, and the connection is so close that when Jesus died to sin, we died to sin. And when he was raised to life, we were raised to life. And so there's a new relationship that we find ourselves in. We're under new management now. Verse 6, we know that our old self was crucified with him so that our body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And then verse 11, Paul is going to say, you need to get this into your mind. I mean, here's where the problem starts. Is you don't remember who you are and you don't have this new way of thinking. And so you've got to start by thinking about what has already taken place. It's not something you have to do or accomplish. He's not saying at this point that we need to go out and die to sin. He's saying you just need to think about who you really are. Verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And then in verses 12 through 14, he'll tell us that we need to start living in a new way. He doesn't say that this is contrary to grace. He doesn't say you can't make yourself any more righteous, so don't even bother about sin. He's going to tell us to do something. Verses 12 through 14, we need to start living in a new way. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Don't let sin get back behind that big desk in your life. Don't let sin come into your life and tell you that you have to do this. You have died to sin and you are alive to God. The old relationship is over. You are in a brand new relationship with Jesus Christ. You and I now have the freedom to say no to sin, something we didn't have before. We were compelled to sin because we were slaves of sin, but now we have been set free so that we can say no to sin and we can begin to enjoy our relationship with Christ and to serve him. Let's pray. Father, we ask as we begin this new chapter in the book of Romans that you would truly give us an understanding of what you have already done for us. and what we do not have to try to accomplish for ourselves. And we pray that you would help us to fill our minds with this wonderful new relationship that we have with you because of Jesus Christ. Help us to see ourselves in Christ, united to Christ, joined with Christ in his death, his burial, his resurrection, so that we might experience all of the goodness that you have for us as your people. Sanctify this word to our hearts, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.